from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, is Facebook intentionally addicting your children? And the latest on the NDAA, as well as the new suicide epidemic. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. While the left's obsession with abortion has stalled efforts to finalize the National Defense Authorization Act, in July, the House passed its version of the NDAA, which includes the Jackson-Roy Amendment, which rolls back the Pentagon's illegal abortion policy. But the NDAA passed by the Democrat-controlled Senate does not include such language, and both sides were in conference on Wednesday to hammer out a final agreement. Will the Jackson-Roy Amendment survive these negotiations? Joining FRC President Tony Perkins on Wednesday was Congressman Chip Roy, who serves on the House Judiciary Committee and represents the 21st Congressional District of Texas.
Congressman Roy, welcome back to the program.
Great to be on, Tony. I hope you had a blessed Thanksgiving, and I hope you're doing well.
I did. It's always nice to be out of D.C. And with family. But it's back to work. I was on the Hill. I know you've been busy today with the Rules Committee. I had a conversation with the Speaker, and it sounds as if the House is standing pretty firm on this no taxpayer funding to facilitate abortion.
Well, I know that is certainly my position. It's certainly the position of the Freedom Caucus, and I hope it'll continue to be. I hope the position of the Speaker. To be clear, as you just explained to all of your listeners, the position of the current administration, the Biden administration, has been to expand, contrary to law, the ability of members of the military, the Department of Defense, to travel to go get abortions all at taxpayer expense, take days off, and all using taxpayer dollars. And so we worked, as you said, in July to pass in the National Defense Authorization Act limits on that to constrain the abuse of the law by the Biden administration. And unfortunately, they're trying to ignore that in the Senate. They're not even in conference. Right? When you were in Congress, we actually went to conference committee. We're not even doing that. My friend Scott Perry is a conferee. He's not gone to any conference yet. What's happening right now is that Chuck Schumer and some of the Republicans in the Senate are trying to pregame out a compromise on this to water it down, take out the abortion protections, take out the transgender surgeries restrictions, take out the critical race theory and DEI stuff that we put in there to limit the abuses and the woke stuff. And they want to add a 32-day extension of FISA on there, which is, you know, against our own civil liberties in terms of the abuses over at the DOJ and our intelligence.
Well, first off,
so
what does that have
to stop that?
What does that have to do with the National Defense Authorization Act?
Nothing. And that flies in the face of everything we tried to do last year to get back to single subject bills, focus on our work in regular order. And so we believe we ought to take the NDAA.
That should be a non-starter.
100%. We're in complete agreement. It ought to be a non-starter that we water down all of those great provisions, and it ought to be a non-starter that we add the FISA provision.
Well, that's in a clear violation of what the Republicans agreed to at the beginning of this Congress, that you were going to deal with single-issue measures.
That's exactly right, Tony. And so I'm hopeful that the Speaker, and obviously he's a good friend of mine and a good friend of yours, I'm hopeful that the Speaker will adhere to those agreements that we made in January and force the Senate to do their job. We can take up FISA by itself. We can take up the NDAA by itself. But we need to do it through the conference committee, through regular order. And we need to make sure that we're fighting to defend the House's position. We passed a good bill.
It was a very good bill.
So let's go.
In fact, it was one of the best NDAAs that I've seen in almost 20 years. So it was a very good bill.
Correct.
So I want to go to this issue. I'm going to focus on the abortion issue one, because that's one of the issues in the Senate where Senator Tuberville, who's been on the program a lot, a good friend of yours, who has said, look, I'm putting a pause, a hold on promotions. You're going to have to vote on them one at a time because of this unilateral change in the abortion funding, abortion travel of for the military. Is this not the off-ramp they've been looking at? Just adopt the NDAA as passed by the House that addresses this issue? This takes care of the promotion issue as well?
100%. And let's be clear to everyone out there listening. Coach Tuberville deserves praise for having the courage to stand up and try to stand for the non-taxpayer funding of abortion and abortion tourism. I wish more of his Senate colleagues were standing alongside him. I want to be very clear. There are a lot of senators who run as pro-life senators who are not standing with Coach Tuberville and who are all too happy to move an NDAA that removes our protection for life. You're exactly right. This is the off-ramp they'd be looking for. I stand with Coach Tuberville. I believe that we ought to have a defense that is focused on defending the United States, not social engineering and not funding abortion tourism.
Agreed. I mean, especially when we see how volatile the world is right now, we should be focused on one thing when it comes to our military. That is having a force that is lethal, that is prepared to defend this country. And all of this DEI, abortion, travel, all of this stuff is a distraction. Just what Israel was doing, Israel was distracted when they were attacked by Hamas.
Yep.
If we're not careful with an open southern border, focused on all this other stuff, we're not going to be prepared when we're attacked.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And not to jump ahead a segment that you're going to have, you know, I was there at the press conference with Mike Braun, who I think you're going to have on, with Rick Scott, you played a clip. We talked about spending. We talked about issues like the NDAA, like you just described, but we also talked about the border. And I hope that there's no circumstance in which we will bring to the floor of the House anything for Ukraine until we've done what we are supposed to do to defend the border of the United States. And that means passing H.R. 2 out of the Senate, Joe Biden signing it into law, attaching metrics to it. If any dollar flows to Ukraine, it must come after the border to the United States is secure, and only then if it's transparent and mission focused. So we're going to stand on that wall defending what the American people sent us here to do. I get thanked all the time in Texas. I don't often get thanked in Congress, and that's exactly the way it ought to be.
You're there to represent your constituents back in Texas, who I'm sure are very much in line with your positions, or you're in line with theirs. And by the way, we're going to help on this NDAA. The Family Research Council has announced that we're going to score this. In fact, I told the speaker that today, that we're going to score this measure if the House language on ending this abortion travel is taken out. There's no reason. No reason. This is a 60, 65, 70% issue across the board in America. We do not believe taxpayer money should go to fund abortion.
No, Tony, this is really important, right? You know, we won a major victory for life. It's not a political victory. It's a victory for life. Last summer, through all of our works for the last 50 years, to overturn Roe, because it's the right legal result and the right result for life. But right now, we should be doing everything we can to win minds and hearts. And I know that the vast majority of the American people, regardless of where they fall on the spectrum on abortion and different beliefs about it at birth or at 6 weeks or 15 weeks, right, the fact is they don't want taxpayer funding. They want us to stay focused on a military doing its job. So let's pull all that out. It's Democrats who want to politicize our defense.
Well, and
we're
the
ones who want to get it focused on its job.
But I want to just for a moment, we're almost out of time here, but you mentioned the Republicans. There are some Republicans in the Senate that will not take a definitive stand on this. And they're the ones that are saying, a lot of them, after the Roe decision, after Roe was turned, the Dobbs decision, Roe overturned, that, well, the government doesn't have a role in this. The federal government doesn't have a role. It certainly does have a role when it comes to the funding of abortion. It should not be doing it. That's beyond question.
And it has been a core principle for decades with respect to the Hyde Amendment and generally speaking with the defense that we not do that. And Democrats are complaining that we're the ones injecting, you know, social issues into this. No, they're the ones that injected cultural and social issues. And Coach Tuberville stood up. We stood up in the House. And daggummit, the Senate needs to stand up. And I hope that Speaker Johnson will help us hold the line with the House passed bill from July.
Well, we're with you. Agree 100%. Chip Roy, always great to see you. Thanks for fighting a good fight.
You too. God bless, Tony.
All right. Congressman Chip Roy of Texas. All right. Jot this number down, because this is where you come in, 202-224-3121. I'll talk more about it, but you need to call your congressman and your senator. Tell them to hold the line on no taxpayer funding for abortion. All right, don't go away. More Washington Watch straight ahead.
For 40 years, Family Research Council has been in Washington, D.C., championing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. But it isn't easy. As the culture continues to become increasingly divided, believers must continue defending biblical truth while many on the left wish to silence and marginalize Christians. Will you join us? Your financial support has never been more important. Thanks to your partnership, we can continue to reach more Americans with the important news from Washington, D.C. Equip believers to stand firm in our culture and defend biblical truth in the halls of government. Every donation we receive will go towards preserving and advancing policies for a culture that honors faith, family, and freedom. To give, text the word GIVE to 67742. Again, text GIVE to 67742.
Back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Good to have you with us. The website is tonyperkins.com. Lots of resources there for you. In fact, the action items from our last segment on the National Defense Authorization Act, we need you to weigh in. As I've told you before, our republic was not made for spectators. It was made for participants. So give your congressman and your two senators a call and tell them not to support a National Defense Authorization Act that does not remove the Biden abortion funding. All right? So go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, more people committed suicide in the United States last year than in any year on record dating all the way back to 1941. Now, according to provisional data recently released by the National Centers for Health Statistics, the number of lives lost to suicide in 2022 totaled more than 49,000 and represents more than 14 deaths for every 100,000 people. Well, the legacy media rushes to provide possible explanations for the despair that so many feel. You know, COVID, we're still using COVID as an excuse. There's something missing from this discussion, and it's the spiritual nature of man. You cannot really talk about hopelessness and despair if you're not willing to talk about the spiritual nature that we have as human beings. Join me now to discuss this, Dr. Jennifer Bowens, director of the Center for Family Studies here at the Family Research Council. Dr. Bowens has extensive clinical and research experience working with survivors of trauma and abuse. Dr. Bowens, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to see you.
Good to see you too, Tony.
So I want to start off with, according to this data, it's pretty alarming. Mm-hmm. Who's at greatest risk?
So we're looking at, there are a number of different ethnic groups, but we're kind of focused here on a group that we don't often think about, and that's males who are 75 and older. And, you know, you think, why on earth would this population, white males, 75 or older, be at risk for suicide? And I'll kind of draw this comparison, because when we look to some of the things that happen with post-traumatic stress, sometimes you see this age group, they may not show any symptoms until they start retiring, right? So they go into retirement, maybe they have a loss of a spouse or loss of relationships, a loss of meaning, right? They're not productive in that sense of what they've lived their whole life in. And so now they're faced with, what is my life about? And I think that, you know, whether we're talking about this age group or we're talking about just our whole world right now, is saying, what is life about? And we know that from the suicide literature that religion, social support, having a sense of meaning and purpose in life is very protective. It prevents people from committing suicide.
They have a purpose.
They have a purpose. And that's what we're not seeing happen in our
world. But isn't
that
one of the big questions, one of the big five questions we ask in life, you know, why am I here? You know, where am I going? You know, what's my purpose? You know, in this, all of those questions are answered in a relationship with your Creator. And so I know, and I'm very open about this, I'm looking at this as a Christian and as a Bible-believing Christian, but when I look at all these articles that are, you know, sounding the alarm over this data, there's zero conversation about the spiritual nature of man.
Yeah, even though the literature recognizes that having a spiritual belief or a religious affiliation is protective against suicide, and yet that's what we're seeing decline in our world. So we should be emphasizing that in every sector of our society is find a place of faith.
So do you think, and I know you'd have to look and study all of this, but is there a connection between the marginalization and the exclusion of religion as a society and these rising rates of suicide, depression, anxiety?
There has to be. I don't even have to do a big study. There has to be a connection because we are wired to have a meaningful, purposeful life and to have that through connection with God.
Is that what Jesus said? And I quote at the beginning of the program in John 10:10. Jesus said that I came that you might have life and have life abundantly, not just to survive. I believe God intends for us to thrive.
He absolutely intends for us to thrive. And the other part of that verse is, and the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And people aren't recognizing that there is an enemy that we are battling who is about killing us, stealing from us, and destroying us. So if you don't have an anchor in Jesus, when your world falls apart, like we talked about at the beginning here,
right,
when you retire or maybe you have loss, where are you going to turn? You have to have that person, Jesus, as the anchor of your soul.
So give us some action steps here to respond to. How do we address this? Because it's touching everyone.
Yes. And I think as believers, and I know many of our viewers and listeners are, we are not immune to the attacks of the enemy, the stealing, the killing, and destroying. And so we need to recognize that there is an attempt to steal our hope in this hour. But I really believe that if we can remain hopeful in the face of adversity, we are going to have the most influence because people are looking for hope-filled people. And when we can rise up in the midst of what's going on in our world and say, there is a way through this, and there is a way to not just through, but to thrive. And we can only get that in connection to the Holy Spirit. That's not something that we can drum up, but that comes through relationship with Jesus, and because He is hope. And if we're not anchored in that hope, we can't offer that hope.
And we know Him through His Word. And as Christians, as believers, we need to be in that Word, because that's really what I think I would say even inoculates us to the attacks of the enemy, the hopelessness, the despair that often comes on everybody in this world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, too, just at a very practical level, if you know people who are in these age groups or people who've experienced some of the risk, they've been through a loss of a job or a loss of a family member or friend, reach out to them, visit them, because, we are the hands and feet of Jesus, and we show that connection with Him.
So we're up against a break, but very quickly, so it doesn't have to be anything profound. It's just coming alongside, having conversations and doing life together.
Absolutely. It's not complicated.
Yeah. I know a lot of people always hesitate. I just don't know what to say. Just go have a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Presence.
Yeah.
Be present.
Presence. Very good. Jennifer, always great to talk with you.
You too.
Thanks for stopping in.
All right. See you later.
You can find out more about Dr. Jennifer Bowen's work at FRC when you visit tonyperkins.com. When we come back, Meta in the crosshairs as state attorneys general look at the addictive nature of social media.
Are you tired of the mainstream media censoring Christian and conservative voices? Are you looking for news about the most important topics of the day, presented to you through the lens of biblical truth? FRC has the answer, The Washington Stand. The Washington Stand is Family Research Council's outlet for news and commentary from a biblical worldview, covering issues from abortion, sexuality, and religious liberty, to education, to what's happening on Capitol Hill and around the world. The Washington Stand reports on the top stories affecting faith, family, and freedom that the mainstream media doesn't want you to know about. Subscribe today to receive the latest news from The Washington Stand in your inbox every weekday morning by texting TWS to 67742 or by visiting WashingtonStand.com. Again, that's TWS to 67742.
Join Family Research Council's Association of Churches and Ministries, a community of pastors and ministry leaders united in refusing to hide their faith in Jesus from those that would try to silence us. As we face an increasingly hostile culture, the Association of Churches and Ministries provides invaluable resources and a powerful platform to grow and be equipped for the ministry God has entrusted to you. Together, we will stand firm, united in faith. Visit acm.frc.org and become a member today.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. More than 40 state attorneys general have sued Meta, the parent company of both Facebook and Instagram, for intentionally designing and deploying addictive features in its platforms that put youth at risk. The harmful impact of these platforms on children and teens can include increased levels of depression and anxiety, increased hyperactivity, lack of sleep, and other mental health concerns. Did Meta lean into addicting children to its platforms while misleading the public about such harms? Joining Tony Perkins on Tuesday to discuss this and more was Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey.
General Bailey, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me on.
I want to get to this, and then I want to talk about the letter that the attorneys general, I think about 18 or 19 of you, have sent to the Biden administration regarding Christian foster care families that, under a new rule being proposed by the Biden administration, would essentially be kept out of the foster care business.
Yeah. And, you know, both issues are about protecting children. And when it comes to the lawsuit against Meta, this is an important piece of litigation. We've exposed the manipulative practices of the Meta platform that designed features in order to make kids addicted. And lo and behold, screen time is bad for kids. And I think one of the problems here is that Meta has hidden their head in the sand and refused to obtain data or scientific studies to measure the negative harmful impacts on kids, and deprived the public of access to that information. But that's in keeping with their practices. Look, when they were manipulating their platform to make kids more addictive, they were doing it to obtain personal information to maximize their profits, and it's putting kids at risk.
They knew this information internally. Documents that reveal that they knew exactly what they were doing. And there are negative physical, psychological consequences that have come from this.
Yeah, absolutely. The mental and emotional impact of the addictive features of big tech social media platforms, specifically Meta in this instance, have been immediately impactful on children in a harmful way. And it violates the consumer protection laws of the state of Missouri when the platform is depriving parents of access to information necessary upon which to make good decisions about the health and safety of their children, when they're fraudulently attempting to make the kids addicted to the platform. That violates the law, and we're going to hold them accountable.
What's quite significant about this is that I think last month when it was first filed, it was about 32 states. Now we're up to over 40. This is a bipartisan effort. I mean, you've got Democrats, Republicans from, blue states, red states, joining together in this effort to hold Meta accountable.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, child safety should be a bipartisan issue. I'm proud to have joined with colleagues, like-minded colleagues in other states that want to put the safety of children first and hold wrongdoers in the big tech social media world accountable. And certainly we've seen a repeated pattern of behavior from Meta, not only to abuse children in this context and to deprive the public of access to information, but to violate our constitutional rights to free speech by, acquiescing to government censorship demands. So we have repeated instances of bad behavior here. And again, this is a full court press, all hands on deck approach to make sure we're holding this monolithic monopoly accountable.
So where does this go? As I said, the suit was filed last month. What's the status? What are the next steps?
Well, this is a 233-page complaint with detailed facts and allegations. And I'm here to tell you, we've got the evidence to back up the allegations. And we'll continue to pursue additional evidence through the tools of formal discovery. And we'll eventually likely file an amended petition based on additional allegations that we'll uncover. But right now, we're in court and we want an injunction. We want the court to order Meta to stop using their features in such a way to make kids addicted, stop luring kids into these addictive features, and to post-parental consent so that, you know, kids under 13, their parents know what these features, what's involved in these features and can make decisions to protect the kids. We also think there should be some monetary compensation for the victims. We've got to build a fund to study this problem, figure out how bad it is, the negative emotional and mental impacts on kids, and make sure that they're treated and taken care of in the aftermath of this fraudulent behavior.
So I know this is focused on children who are vulnerable and they're being manipulated here, but this goes beyond the algorithms, the way this is set up. It affects more than children, does it not?
Yeah, it absolutely does. Look, it's intentionally designed to be addictive for children. One can certainly infer that they're doing the same thing to make it more addicted to adults as well. And I think you see the increased frequency that all people of all ages are spending on their addicted to these platforms on the screen. And so it's important to start unraveling this. Again, I think that Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act has been misinterpreted by the courts and has allowed this dangerous monopoly in big tech social media to exist. And this is just one more line of effort to dismantle that and right the wrongs of the past.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of Big Tobacco when they knew that nicotine, their product, was harmful, but they kept selling it, peddling it, and eventually they came tumbling down.
That's right. In the 1990s, there was evidence uncovered through a lawsuit similar to this that Big Tobacco was specifically targeting children and peddling an addictive product to children to the harm of children, then hiding the science and medicine that would have proven these harms. And I think this case is going to be very similar. And I think history will look back on this moment in time and celebrate that we took a stand to protect children against this pernicious behavior.
Very quickly, speaking of children, as I mentioned at the opening, that you, along with about 18 other attorneys general, have sent a letter to the Biden administration regarding this proposed rule on foster care families, essentially targeting Christian foster families. What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, we can't let Biden relegate Christian families to second-class citizen status. And that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to demand that if you want to be a foster placement and provide a loving home for a kid who's suffering from abuse and neglect and open your doors to that home, you've got to swear an oath of allegiance to a radical transgender ideology and reject your faith and your beliefs. And that's unconstitutional. It violates the First Amendment protection for religious freedom. And that's what we're fighting against. There are 13,000 kids in Missouri foster care that need loving homes. Why is President Biden trying to exclude so many of these Christian families from opening their doors to these kids in need?
Yeah, it's clearly not about the children. General Bailey, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for covering these important stories and for having me on.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.